Well, we're going to jump right in. This right here is going to be more of a continuation of last Sunday evening, because we're going to stay on the subject of Hasatan, the devil, but we're going to look at something else. We're going to look at pride. And, you know, I don't think that we realize the dangers of pride. I think for the most part, if you walk up to somebody, anybody, in church, out of church, and you ask them if they have an issue with pride, everybody's going to say no. And that's not the case. Especially for us. We shouldn't be saying no, because it's something that we deal with on a daily basis. We deal with pride. And last week we celebrated Yom Teruah, and we moved on from there, and we headed to Yom Kippur. And so we're in the days of awe. We're in the 10 days of awe right now, and I'll touch a little bit on that later on. But I'll go ahead and do it now and get it out the way. This is the time of the year we search our motives and why we do certain things in our life. When we do, we are going to find out oftentimes that our motives are not pure, but only to get the respect and approval of people around us. And that's something we would never admit, right? But it's something that we deal with. We seek approval of other people. It's something that we deal with. Society is built on getting us to embrace pride. That's what society is about. It wants us to embrace pride. We are important, and I'm not saying we're not important, but we not all what we cracked up to be. Or are we not as, how can I put this? We're not as important as we think we are. Because whenever we start thinking that, that's whenever pride comes in. And then we have a big problem. Well, pride is a very big problem in a church. Very big. Our flesh desires glory. That's what we want. We want the glory. Well, guess what? We can't have the glory, because the glory belongs to Elohim, to the Father. But you know something? We still want it, because it's in us. We want the glory. In fact, that throughout history has been recognized as the deadliest of vices, talking about pride, now is celebrated as a virtue in our culture. Think about that. It's celebrated as a virtue. And it does. We don't have to go far. We can get on our phone and go to Facebook. We see it all the time on there. Pride and arrogance are among the rich, the powerful, the successful, the famous, and the celebrities of all sorts, and even in religious leaders. And it is also alive and well in ordinary people, including followers of Yeshua. Yet few of us realize how dangerous it is to us and how much it hinders our intimacy with Yah, with the Father. How much it hinders our intimacy, and not only with Him, but our love for others. Because the Bible teaches that we should love one another, we should pray for one another, we should lift each other up in prayer. But pride is not good. It's not good. So we're going to start off in Proverbs 6:16. And he says, "These six things doeth the Lord hate." Six. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look and a lying tongue. Number one, pride. And what he said he does, he hates them. He hates pride because pride separates us from the Father. And we're going to see that. When we look at this layout of Scripture, we see two things here. Out of the six things that Yah hates, well, let me go ahead and read. I'm going to just read them. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift into running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now that last one I mentioned, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, that's the one that's an abomination to him. That's not good. That's not a good thing to sow discord among the brethren, but there's something that causes it. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. When we look at this layout of Scripture, we need to see two things here. Out of the six things that Yahweh hates, the first one was pride, and then he followed it with the tongue. Now think about it. Think about what James said, all right? Think about pride. Pride is bad. It's not good because it puffs us up and think that we're something that we're not. And the Bible says whenever we feel that way, we're only deceiving ourselves because it's not a fact. But then he adds an element to it, the tongue. And we all know how bad the tongue can be, the mouth. It says that it speaks blessings and curses. It speaks blessings and curses. And that's another scripture we're going to cover later in the teaching. All right, we're going to come back to these. We're going to move on, but don't forget these because we're coming back to them. Being humble is not the easy route because we have to realize that we are not good and that nothing good dwells in us. We have to realize this. We'll look at it Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So Paul said this, that nothing good dwells in him. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And I'm going to make this statement again. We are not as good as we think we are. We are not deserving of all the things we think we are deserving of. Remember, we're talking about pride. And if you can feel something in here, if it's pricking you, that's because we have a pride issue. If we look back at the life of Yeshua and study his life, there was none there. None whatsoever. And another guy I'll mention is Paul. After his encounter on the road to Damascus, Paul didn't have an issue with this. All right, so we're gonna take a close look at Hasatan because he took on something that he didn't have when Elohim created him. He took on something that he didn't have. So let's get to know pride a little more. John 14:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Pride. All over. We see it throughout the scripture with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pride. Galatians 1:6. And this is one of them statements here that only a guy like Paul can make. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So he's saying, if we looking to please men, we have no business being up here. I can tell you that. We have no business. You know, Paul makes these statements that, I mean, it rocks you to your core the way he says it. Because he don't water it down. He gets straight to the point. If you're looking to please men, don't get in the ministry. And don't be a servant of Christ. And there's a reason why he makes that statement. Paul makes these all up in your business and faith statements because he's not seeking the approval of men. In our society, to be prideful and arrogant is applauded. It's something that is cheered for. You're encouraged to brag about how you are the best at something and boast about it. Think about it. Pride is deadly. It's intoxicating. It has taken out many righteous men and women, even the anointed cherub. Even Hasatan it took out, the anointed cherub. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28, and we're going to take a look at the anointed cherub, Hasatan. We'll start at verse 1. The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith sovereign Yahweh, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of Elohim in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Now they're using Tyrus here, Prince of Tyrus, but this is prophetic. This is talking about Hasatan, and as we move down, we'll see. We'll jump to 14. But I'm going to point something out here. He says that his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up. Ezekiel verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherub that cover it, and I have set thee so thou wouldst upon the holy mountain of Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity found me. So he was perfect. The anointed cherub was perfect. So pride came in. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now in verse 16, I want you to keep in mind, he says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. Thine heart was lifted up. Pride set in because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Now we got to take a look at this word traffic here, because something happened. Something happened because it says that the cherub, he was perfect. He was perfect. But something happened. Now, how in the world could this happen to the anointed cherub? I mean, how? I mean, he was perfect. He stood over Yahweh and watched him. He was the closest to him. But what happened is he took his eyes off of Yahweh and put it on him. The attention went to him. And he wanted what Yahweh had. What he had. He wants the glory. He wants his seat. He wants his seat. Now this word traffic, whenever I seen this, I had to stop for a while. Because this traffic means merchandise as in a trade. So Hasatan traded humility for pride. It was a trade that took place. He traded humility for pride. That's not good. He traded humility for pride, and it gave birth to all kinds of evil. All kinds. Pride ruins relationships in the church. It ruins opportunities. If we leave any kind of crack or crevice, something uncovered, pride will come in. It will come in. Let's look at Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven, or the pride of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we're talking about leaven here. Now, whenever you're dealing with leaven or yeast, when you put it in a bread, it's not just the leaven that makes it rise. What it does is it takes on other elements for it to rise. It's not just the yeast, but it takes on other elements. So the yeast takes in some different elements and then it rises. And that's the same thing that pride does in our life. The same thing. Whenever we take on pride, it pulls in all the other stuff. All the other stuff. We're going to look at Galatians 5:22. And I'm going to use this analogy as a party, all right? A party. And I'm going to read. When you invite pride to the party, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all has to go. It all goes. Because when the pride comes in, it kicks it out. Pride don't want that stuff there. Because he has his buddies he's bringing, right? He got a lot of buddies. Let's read about his buddies. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seductions, and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. These are the ones that pride invites in. And I know we've all been to them parties where that certain person walks in and it's like everybody leaves, including you. Right? I know it wasn't just me. I ain't talking about now. I'm talking about some years ago. We know we all did it. Now, if we're doing it, we know what the problem is already, and I ain't even got done with the teaching. It's a pride issue. But we like pride. We like to be recognized. We like to be put on a pedestal. We like these things, but we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Our flesh every day wants glory, wants honor, and it wants to be worshipped. Every day our flesh wants this. We cannot have the fruits of the Spirit flowing through us without eliminating pride out of our life, because pride won't let them in. Won't let them in. It will never work. All right. Let's move on. We're going to a different party now. When you invite humility to the party, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variances, they all have to go. Every one of them. That's what happened with the anointed cherub. He let one in, pride. And pride has all these different other sins attached to it. And we don't even see it. We won't even see it. Because we see everybody else and all the problems they have. But not us. We're good. I don't have a pride issue. That guy over there does, though. Big time. Big time. So, we learn something here. You put pride on, I mean, you put, let me go back here. You put humility on, you put Yeshua on. That's what you're doing. You're putting on Yeshua. Get rid of the pride and put on humility. Yeshua took on the humble state of a servant. And we're going to read this. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Yeshua, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua HaMashiach, who being in the form of Yahweh, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yahweh, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeshua put on humility. He bears the fruits of the Spirit. Hasatan put on pride. He bears the works of the flesh. So we have to be careful. We don't want to bear the works of the flesh. That would be crazy. But we can't put Yeshua on with pride. It's not going to happen. You know, if you go into scripture, there's in the Bible, there's so many stories about this. There's some that guys gave in to pride. There's some that didn't. You know, if you look at Joshua and, you know, after his brother selling him and doing the things they did, you think that fella would have been, he would have got puffed up. He was second in command. But what happened? Whenever he seen an opportunity to help his brothers, he humbled himself. But he could have did to them whatever he wanted. Then there's David. You know, if you look at David's life, you can look at both sides of it. There's times where he gave in, and there's times where he didn't. And that's the same for us. We would fall in that category. And you look at King Solomon. And you look at all the stuff that he wrote about pride. He was well versed with pride. He knew about it. He knew about humility. But in the end, he gave in to pride. In the book of Luke, I shared this story last week. It was part of my teaching. You know, it's the Last Supper, and right after they get done, you know, it didn't take long for Satan to come in and try to mess everything up. And, you know, he did it with pride. Because right after the Last Supper, they broke the bread, they took the body and the blood, pride was there. That quit. Pride was there. There was a dispute among the disciples who was the greatest. They didn't have to look far, right across the table from them. Right there. The greatest. But they was wondering which one of them was the greatest. But it goes to show you pride doesn't care. It doesn't care who it hurts, who it runs over. It's going to get what it wants. It's going to get it. That's why we can't let it in, because it'll take you over. It'll take you over. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Whenever I read that, I'm like, man, not everybody knows about this one. Think about it. Think about it. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. You know, it took me a long time to figure that one out. A long time. My mouth got me in a lot of trouble. So, we need to make sure we know how to guard our mouth and our tongue. James 4. Who knows more? Who wrote more about the mouth and the tongue in the Brit Hottie shot in James? Behold also the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lifts it. So wherever the captain wants to take it, it goes with that small rudder. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. That word boasted means excessive pride, especially about yourself. To bear oneself lofty in speech or action, to boast of great things. So James, you remember that scripture in Proverbs I said we were going to get back to? We're fixing to go there because James is talking about pride and he's talking about the tongue. So we're going to go back to Proverbs 6:16. These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look and a lying tongue. So we can look at this a couple ways. Pride will have you lying. You will lie to retain your pride. You will do it. Because pride don't want to get out. Remember, he done brought all of his partners. He brought all his people there. He wants a home right here. Pride wants to speak. It wants to be heard. That's why James put pride in here with the tongue, because your pride wants to speak. It wants to be heard. It wants people to know that I know. I know this, and because I know it, you should know it. Kind of reminds me of Facebook. Let me just say this, and I'm not telling you don't go on Facebook, but the creator, the guy who designed Facebook, whenever he did it, he didn't have your spirit man in mind, I can tell you that. It wasn't, he had your flesh. Your flesh was in mind, not your spirit man. Pride will use your tongue to tell on you. It'll use your tongue to tell on you. It will tell the people around us what we are walking in, pride or humility. It'll tell on you. Sooner or later, it's going to come up. Something's going to happen, an outburst, whatever it may be, but folks around us is going to know. That guy's not walking in humility. He's walking in pride. All right, we're going to finish up James chapter 4. The second part of verse 5 we'll start. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, tamed and had been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Now, when you read that, it seems we have no hope of guarding our tongue, because he says it can't be tamed. It can't be tamed. Let's keep reading. Now, therefore, we bless, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So he's saying, these things shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be coming from the same mouth, blessing and cursing. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Eat a vine, figs? So can no fountain boat yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation work his works with meekness, humility of wisdom. How do we guard our mouth? What is he telling us here? We put on humility. That's how we guard our mouth. We put on humility. First Peter 5:1. Not 5:1. Let me see which one it is here. Might be 11. See if I can find this right quick. If not, we'll just move on. I marked the wrong scripture there. It's 5. First Peter. Wait. Yes, 1 Peter 5:5. I was in the wrong book. No wonder why, man. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and of all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, that's one of them scriptures that gets your attention there. Because that means he's opposed. He's not with you. He opposes you. And that's the last person we want to have opposing us or against us is the Father. And James, we'll read another one, James 4:5. Do you think that the Scripture say it in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Again, he says the same thing. He resists the proud. He resists the proud. We'll keep reading. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. You know, this is what we should be doing now, in the days of all. You know, reflecting on our life, and making sure we don't have any pride or any leaven in our life. You know, we have to reflect back on it, because we're getting ready for Yom Kippur. So we want to make sure that we're doing the things that we have to do, that we're supposed to do, to make sure that we're clean. Let's read Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O Yahweh, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So make sure there's nothing in me that can hurt me or hurt somebody else or hurt you, most importantly. Philippians 2:3, do nothing through selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Yeshua, who also, although he existed in the form of Yahweh, did not regard equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself out, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That's one that I read already. In 1 Corinthians 12:20, got a couple more. But now there are many members, but one body, and I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body would seem to be the weaker or necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lack, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So he don't esteem nobody over everybody else. We're all members of one body. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, in the perverted mouth, he hate. First John 2:16. This will do you my last scripture. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and its lust, but the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. There's one way to do the will of the Father, and that's to get rid of the pride. If there's any pride in us, and I'm not saying anybody has pride, but it's something that we need to examine. It's something that we need to look at, because if we're dealing with pride, we can't walk by the Spirit. And that's something that we have to do. It's vital to our relationship with the Father, is to hear from His Spirit. Because we don't know, but He knows. He knows. So leading up to Yom Kippur, this is what I've been doing. Because I want what's coming to me. And I'm not talking about this reward. I'm talking about the reward, the everlasting life with the Father in Yeshua. Because the stuff that we get here, the stuff that we get involved in, the stuff that we set goals to get things, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't want what other people want. And don't want what other people have. Because if you keep wanting it, pride's going to set in. And whenever pride sets in, it brings in all kind of evils that we're going to have to deal with. And we know this. Well, that's all I have for tonight. Anybody else has anything? Brother Josh? Brother Chad? No? Pastor? Good? All right, well, you dismissed.